Good morning, and once again, welcome. Once again, it is good to see all whom we have with us, and we do have visitors with us again today, and we are honored with your presence. And we do invite you to come back every opportunity that you would have. And as we continually emphasize, if you have questions about something that you observe, either in the way that we worship God or something that I say in this lesson, I would be more than happy to sit down and talk with you about that following the services. If a quick answer cannot be given, perhaps arrangements can be made for further studies if that is your desire. May we in all that we do strive to be pleasing to God. May we in all that we do strive to be the children of God that He would have us to be. And of course, that means that we ought to be Christians. Of course, we have been in the midst of a study dealing with what it means to be a Christian, which is a part of our theme for 2015, Let Us Go On to Perfection. And over the course of the past several weeks, we've been dealing with a number of descriptions of what the Christian actually is in the New Testament. And of course, we gain an understanding as to our responsibilities by looking at these various descriptions. We've talked about the Christian as a citizen. We've talked about the Christian as a soldier. Last week we talked about the Christian as an athlete. And this morning we want to talk about the Christian as a farmer. And I want to thank Jerry for the songs that he led as they lead right into the theme that we are going to be dealing with this morning. In dealing with the Christian as a soldier, we find that he is one who contends, that he fights for the cause of Christ. And as we noted last week in dealing with the Christian as an athlete, he's running a race, and we are to endure and we are to be faithful till the very end. We have to compete according to the rules and such. But when we deal with the idea of farming, if you want to use that as an analogy for the Christian, or as we examine that analogy as a Christian, the idea there is that of spreading the seed of the Word of God. And that is really the emphasis that is addressed from this standpoint. Of course, back in the first century, in the region of Israel, it was very much an agricultural region, and there was a lot of different types of agriculture that was taking place. And typically what would happen with farming, say a sower would be broadcasting seed, and the way that he would do that is he would take and he would put a satchel on his side that would be filled with seed, and after the ground was prepared, he would just take it out by the handful and he would just broadcast that particular seed, and it would land in the ground and the crop would be produced. Of course, that was one way that agriculture took place. Another way is that of fishing. And I'm not really going to deal with a specific lesson addressing the subject of fishing, but I will tell you this, the emphasis on fishing, where Jesus says, be fishers of men, is basically the same applications that we are going to be talking about with the idea of harvesting a crop. So what we're going to do in our lesson this morning is we're going to notice a few passages of Scripture that talk about the Christian as a farmer, or some of the qualities that are associated with a farmer. And I want you to keep in mind that sower that I mentioned just a few moments ago. Of course, one of the parables of Jesus that is probably one of his better known parables is the parable of the sower. And you have that described in Matthew chapter 13, as well as in Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. Jesus there, beginning in verse 3 of Matthew 13, gives this short parable in which he says, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell among the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now Jesus goes on and explains this parable, beginning in about verse 18 and going through verse 23 of this same chapter here. And he explains a number of things about this particular parable here. One of the things that we note is that he's describing the seed as the Word of God, and that's the way that Luke actually mentions it. And the field is the hearts of men. And the different types of soils, you have the hardened heart, the stony ground, the ground with the weeds in it, and then you have the good ground. Those are describing different types of hearts. And those that are receptive, and or different ways that people will receive the seed of the Word of God. Now, we've emphasized that on various occasions in our study of the parable of the sower, and I don't want to spend this morning talking about that aspect of the parable. But what I do want to note is the need to broadcast the seed on the hearts of men. I find it interesting that Jesus did not describe this as the parable of the soils. If you go down to Matthew chapter 13, you'll find there that Jesus says in verse 18, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower." He was talking about the sower. He was talking to his disciples, and what he was telling his disciples is you need to broadcast the seed. That's the main point. But then he goes on and reminds them that as you broadcast the seed, not everybody is going to be receptive. You're going to run into all different types of attitudes. You're going to run into the hardened heart that wants nothing to do with the Word of God. You're going to run into those who seem to be receptive, but either it's stony ground, which means they really have no depth, there's no real foundation, and at the first sign of trouble, they quit. Or you're going to have those, the seed is going to be sown in the midst of weeds. And it's a description of a divided heart. Somebody who is worldly and somebody who obeys the gospel in principle at least, but they have divided loyalties. They want to hold on to the world with one hand, and they want to hold on to God with the other hand. You're going to run into those people. You're going to run into people that when they obey the gospel, you are excited about it. But don't be discouraged when they quit. That's the point he's making there. But then there is the good ground. There's the good soil, and the seed will fall on good and honest hearts that are looking for the truth, and when they receive the truth, they are willing to accept that truth. Now the problem is, you don't know what kind of a heart somebody has. So what is your responsibility? Your responsibility is to broadcast the seed. Nothing more, nothing less, and we'll see about the result as we continue in this particular lesson. But that's the first point that I would emphasize when I talk about the Christian as a farmer, as a sower of seed. We're reminded of our responsibility to sow that seed. The next text that I want to turn to is one that we have appealed to the last 2 weeks, and that is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. In this particular text, on this particular occasion, Paul is encouraging Timothy there to endure. He says there in verse number 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And I think that's what he's actually emphasizing is, Timothy, be strong. Don't quit. And then he gives these analogies of enduring. He talks about enduring as a soldier in verses 3 and 4. And then last week we noted in verse number 5, as one competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Again, you're still dealing with the idea of you can't quit. You've got to stay the course, if you will. And then after that, he says in verse 6, "The hard-working farmer must be the first to partake of the crops." And of course, the point that Paul is making here is, again, dealing with diligent effort and dealing with endurance. And I see a couple of things in the point that he's making here as we are farming. One is, he makes the point is that he's hard working. In other words, he's putting forth great effort.
I'm not much of a farmer. I have a hard time making a tomato plant produce, or a single pepper plant. You know, I've tried to plant those in my yard, and I don't do very good even with a single plant. But I suspect that if farmers are like anybody else, that some are more diligent at it than others, and you can see it in the produce that is made as a result of that. If somebody flippantly farms his field, he may have produce, but the degree of effort that he puts forth is going to have a direct bearing on how successful he will be as a farmer. So Paul reminds Timothy here to endure, to be strong, and he's telling him, you be like a hard-working farmer. I know that working a farm is hard, even though, like I said, I've never been a farmer myself. I mean, that's one of those things that becomes clearly evident. There's a lot of work involved in agriculture. It really is difficult work, and he's making that point. But he goes on and he makes another observation about the farmer here by saying that he will be the first to partake of his produce. You know, I've heard of those who, as they were growing up as farmers, even in this congregation, I've heard of people growing up and say, we grew up during very, very difficult times. Farming a land. And while we didn't have much, we never went hungry. We always had food. Because the farmer will be able to partake of the produce, and first he provides for his family, and then what is left he takes and he sells, and that's where his livelihood takes place. So that's kind of an illustration of what I see here as he says he's the first to partake of his crop. And the point is as you are farming the fields for God, farming the hearts of men, sowing the seed, you are going to benefit from that. And you're going to be the first to receive produce as a result of that which you broadcast. Now, not every heart is going to be receptive, as we've already noted in the parable of the sower. But there are many things that you will receive, benefits from broadcasting the Word of God, sharing the Word of God the way that you ought to do. And some of those I've got listed here on this particular chart. You have one of them is experience. The more that you teach others, the more experience you are going to gain in teaching others. And where that becomes a benefit is you're going to make less mistakes as you move on. Somebody that's first starting out, you know, as I tell people as we've been trying to emphasize evangelism a little bit this year, you know, a lot of people are scared to start because they're scared of failure. And I just want to comfort you and I want to assure you that when you start trying to reach others, take heart, or don't take heart, or take heart, whatever it is, you will fail. I promise you there's going to be people that are not going to receive. And there's going to be times where you're going to blow it. You're going to make mistakes in your discussions with others. But learn from it. You don't just throw up your hand and quit. You know, when a farmer sees weeds in his field, he doesn't just throw his hands up and say, what's the use? Well, I've lost this crop. You deal with a weed. And then you just keep moving forward. So, but this is a truth. The more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. And the less mistakes you're going to make. And the more you're going to be able to answer, the less you're going to fail in the future. And so, you gain experience. Another thing that you gain is you learn patience. If there's anything that a farmer has to learn, it is patience. Turn over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, where James is dealing with the very subject of having patience in our lives. And he makes this analogy here. James chapter 5, beginning in verse number 7, he says there, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the earlier and the latter rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. James is there saying, be patient. And he even gives the example there of the farmer. You wait patiently for the fruit. A farmer well knows that there's a length of time between planting season and harvesting season. And it's usually a considerable length of time. You don't plant your tomato plant today and go out tomorrow and expect to pick tomato plant. Or tomatoes, not tomato plants. You don't expect to pick tomatoes tomorrow. You've got to wait. And typically in farming, we're talking months. And during that entire time, you have to deal with that field day in and day out. Even as you're harvesting, or as you're dealing with the crop, up until the time of harvest. You've got things to do. You have to keep watering. You have to keep weeding the ground. There might be other things that you need to do to enhance the growth at a particular time. So as you work hard at this, you will learn qualities such as patience. And of course your faith is going to become stronger. Your faith will be strengthened as you defend the truth of God's Word. Again, I go back to our text in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Be strong in the Lord. He's telling him to be strong. And something that you might also add to this, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 16, here, you know, Paul talks about Timothy doing his job. And he basically says, you know, live your way in such a way that no one despises your youth. Be an example. And then in verse number 16, he says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You will save yourself. That is a goal. That's associated with our planting. As a matter of fact, Paul actually deals with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you keep reading beyond this particular text. And that does bring us to the next text that we want to talk about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is trying to encourage these brethren to get along with each other. He's calling for unity in their midst. And of course, if you study the book, you'll note that they're divided on a number of different subjects. And Paul says that is not acceptable. You need to be like a functioning body. You need to treat each other properly, and you need to not be lining yourself up with one person against somebody else. And there were those who were following after Paul, and those who were following after Peter, and those who were following after Apollos. And various others, whoever it was, they were following after different people and competing with each other, if you will. And Paul says, we're all working together. We need to work together. And one of the things that he reminds them of is that he says in verse number 5, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Ministers, or but ministers, through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. Paul is even saying, I am nothing. In comparison to Apollos, I'm no greater than Apollos. And Apollos was not an apostle. You know, as far as spreading the gospel, you have Paul and Apollos and Peter. We're nothing. We're just stewards. We're just broadcasters of the seed. And he goes on and he says there, we're ministers. As he says, through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. That goes back to the hardworking farmer, doesn't it? But I want you to notice that what this text tells us. This text tells us is that we have a responsibility to plant the seed of the Word of God. And we have a responsibility to water the seed that has been planted. Or maybe you will water the seed that somebody else has planted. That's kind of one of the points that Paul is making. You know, sometimes, you know, we talk about how we want instant results, especially in this instant society. You know, on demand is the term that we would use today. You know, you can't even wait till tomorrow for the movie. You got to have it today. You want it on demand right now. And it's available in most instances. We need to learn patience. And especially in dealing with the souls of others. We need to realize, as we said, there's sometimes a time period between the seed actually being planted and the plant, the produce, being the result of that which is planted. And you may plant a seed today, and it may be years down the road in another state by somebody else that you don't even know, and you may never hear about it. That waters that. I'll give you an illustration of that. I don't know if you've seen my front yard. My front yard is 90% weeds, 10% grass. Well, I tried about a year ago to pull a lot of those weeds out of the front yard. And if you were there, you saw those blank spots in there. Well, guess what? We had some rain this year. You know what came up? Not the grass. The weeds. The weeds are what came back, and they came back in full force in that yard. And of course, I didn't want those there, but the point is sometime, a long time ago, and I didn't do it, somebody planted weed seed, or somehow weed seed got planted in there. I thought I got it out. Just took a little water, actually a lot of water, and now I know how much weed I have in my front yard. Well, give that analogy with the planting of the seed of the Word of God. Your job is to plant the seed. And you don't know what the outcome is going to be. And one of the points that Paul is making is don't worry about the outcome. That's not your responsibility. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, God takes care of the increase. You let God be concerned about whether or not that heart receives the message. You let God concern about when that heart receives the message. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we have here a parable that is not that often quoted. It's just a short parable that Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God. He says there in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 26, he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the blade yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now Jesus is just simply describing here how we don't know how plants grow, and we're figuring it out more. You know, science over the course of the centuries has developed, and we know more and more about how to make things grow. But as I've said on many, many occasions, you know, you could learn the composition of a seed, but you can never put the spark of life there. There's still a part of that seed that is a mystery. It belongs to God, because God's the one that gives life. But here, the point that Jesus is making in this parable is, you plant a seed, and you just trust that it's going to produce, and it doesn't happen overnight, but all of a sudden, you see a small sprout, and then eventually it grows into the plant. It takes time. And then, of course, he makes the point after that, that after all this happens, when the grain ripens, then it is harvested. Now, there's a lot of times in Scripture when the term harvest is used to describe the judgment of God. I think this verse is an exception. I believe the point that is making here is that it will produce fruit, and the fruit will be beneficial. So again, we're reminded by our text, let's just be concerned about planting. And let's be concerned about watering. Doing what we can. Just be the examples that we need to be. Just take advantage of opportunities to share the Word of God with others whenever we have that opportunity. Plant the seed. And it'll reach maturity on its own. In its time. And leave that in God's hands. Another principle that we want to give consideration to is found in John chapter 4, verses 34 through 38. We have in this particular passage, Jesus has been engaged in a conversation with a Samaritan woman, and there's a whole lot to be said about that. But of course, remember, it's also described as the woman at the well. And Jesus engages in this discussion, and he turns the discussion from her giving him a drink of physical water to, if you ask me, I would give you living waters. And of course, Jesus says a lot of things and teaches her on this occasion. Well, his disciples come back. And they notice that he's been talking to this Samaritan woman, which for a number of reasons was not supposed to be done. But Jesus wasn't like everybody else. And so he taught whoever he had opportunity to teach. But his disciples come back they brought food to him, and Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of my Father who sent me," and various things such as that. And then, of course, that leads to a little bit of a conversation about food. And then, following this, beginning in verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. For he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their harvest." That goes a little bit back to what I was talking about just a few minutes ago. You know, about the idea of you plant, let somebody else water, and it may happen a long time from now. I believe the point of the context there is talking about the prophets. They laid the groundwork. They planted the seed early on. And what the apostles are doing is they're watering that seed. And they're going to see the harvest of that which has been planted. But Jesus gives this point here. Open your eyes. You know, you say that the harvest is still 4 months away. Jesus says, open your eyes, the fields are white unto harvest. And the point is there's always people looking. And you never know who is ready for harvesting. Who's ready to receive the seed of the kingdom of God? How often do we become guilty of judging who is worthy to be taught? That's something we need to be cautious of avoiding in our lives. How often do we do? Oh, he wouldn't be a good candidate. That person is so wicked, he'll never accept the Word of God. That person has rejected God, says he doesn't believe in God. He mocks God. You know what? He may not be ready right now. But that might be an example of where all you need to do is plant a seed. Plant the seed. And that seed could just simply be a question. You know, a question like, why? Or can you prove that? You know, that's an interesting thing to deal with in talking to somebody that denies the existence of God. You know, they brag about how you can't prove that God exists. Ask them, can you prove that He doesn't? Can you prove that He doesn't exist? That might be a seed of doubt. And somebody years later may come along. And who knows where he'll go? That's how you deal with a young false teacher knocks on your door. It's just fulfilling his quota. You
can plant seeds of doubt. And who knows where that will lead in the future. So we need to be careful to open our eyes. You don't know the condition of hearts until you try. Now, they may tell you to get away, and there's a lot of people that say, I don't care, I'm not interested. Again, what's your responsibility? To sow. You're not accountable for the heart. You're not accountable for the type of heart that they have. You're not accountable for the increase. You're accountable for sowing. That's what we're reminded of as a farmer.
Another passage we might want to give consideration to is in Matthew chapter 15. In this particular passage here, Matthew 15 verses 13 and 14, Jesus says this. He says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone, they are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. So Jesus there says, every plant that my Father has not planted will be uprooted. There's a principle for us to consider in that, and that is that when we sow seed, what we need to sow is the seed of the Word of God. We need to make sure that we're broadcasting the truth of God's Word, not our think-sos, not our opinions. You know, religiously, this world is divided. Even among those who profess to follow after Jesus, the religious world is bitterly divided. The reason it's divided is not because the Word of God can't be understood. It's because they're sowing the seeds of the doctrines of men. They're sowing another gospel, and people are following that another gospel, whatever it is. And I'm convinced that one day we're going to be held accountable if we're sowing false doctrine. That's why we need to be doubly sure that what we broadcast is the truth of God's Word and the truth only where God's Word is concerned. That's all we need to broadcast, both in our hearts and in the hearts of others. And that's one of the, I guess you call it a side note. We need to sow seed in our own heart. We may need to do that before we worry about the hearts of others. We need to sow the seed of God's Word and make sure that in our own heart we are applying it. You go back to Matthew chapter 13, where you find here another parable of Jesus in the parable of the wheat and the tares, which is simply a parable about a field is harvested with wheat or is sown with wheat, and then an enemy comes along at night and sows tares into the midst of the wheat, weeds, poison weeds. And early on, you can't tell the difference between a weed and the wheat. And the servant says, you want us to go pick out the weeds right now? And the landowner says, just wait till harvest. At harvest time, it'll be clearly evident the difference between the weed and the wheat. And at that time, you can sort them out. And of course, what he's describing there is there's a judgment day coming. There's a day of harvest when the wheat and the weed are going to be separated from one another. And he says there in verse number 41, the Son of Man, this is Matthew 13, verse 41, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. If somebody sows weed into somebody's heart, that's going to be harvested out in the day of judgment. And those weeds are going to be cast into the fire. So we need to make sure that what we broadcast is only the Word of God. And realize that every plant that God has not planted is going to be uprooted and cast out and burned. We need to be like Paul, who to the same brethren in Corinth that we talked about a few minutes ago that were bickering and fighting with each other and divided. He says there in chapter 2 and in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians, he says, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him
crucified. That's it. His word and His word only. That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I didn't come here with the commentary of Paul. I didn't come here with the I think so's of Paul. I didn't come here with what Apollos told me or what Peter told me. I came here with the gospel of Christ. Nothing more and nothing less. That's a seed that we need to plant. The next passage that I want us to look at is Galatians chapter 6, and that should be verses 7 and 8, not verse number 9. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Paul there says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You reap what you sow. That goes back to what we were just talking about a minute ago. We need to sow the seed of the Word of God only. And if you sow something different, you're going to reap a different crop. You realize that that's a law of nature that God put into effect back in, say, Genesis 1? You know how many times it says in Genesis 1 that it will produce after its kind? You know, you can breed two different types of dogs and get a new breed of dog. But you ain't going to breed a cat and a dog together. It's not going to happen. It's contrary to nature, and it's one of the reasons evolution has been proven, or general evolution has been proven, false. It just doesn't happen. Every seed produces after its kind. If we will plant just simply the seed of the Word of God, all you're going to get is a Christian. If you plant the Word of God and something else, or if you plant something other than the Word of God, what you're going to get is whatever that other is teaching. We call them denominations. Every seed produces after its own kind. You reap what you sow. But you know, Paul takes this a step further here in Galatians chapter 6, where he's talking about our own lives. He's not just talking about the Word of God. He's talking about in your own life. If you sow sin, and if you sow corruption, and if you sow immorality and immodesty in your life, that's what you're going to reap. If you sow goodness, if you sow proper attitudes, if you sow the Word of God in your heart, what you're going to reap is the result of that which you've planted. In Proverbs 22 and in verse number 8, Solomon said, "He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail." In Proverbs 11 and verse 18, he said, "The wicked man works deceptive works, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward." James chapter 3 and in verse number 18 says, "The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." The fruit of righteousness. We will reap what we sow. And another principle that goes along with that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse number 6. And I realize that this is a passage that is dealing with giving. That is laying by in store as we have prospered as brethren. But I'm not convinced that it's exclusive simply to giving money. I think it goes further than that. Paul says here, "This I say," verse 6. "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." That's just as much a law of nature as every seed produces after its own kind. Farmers that know what they're doing know the yield of the seed that they are planting. They know how much seed they need to plant in a given area of ground, and they're going to put the proper amount there. And if they decide to cut it in half, you know, "I want to save a little bit of money, so I'm only going to buy half the seed." Well, they're only going to get half a crop. They're not going to get as much because they didn't sow as much.
So the principle, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, applies. We will reap in proportion to how much we sow. One reason many of us are not producing more fruit is because we're not bothering to plant it in the first place. And that may be in our own lives. If you're not growing spiritually the way that you ought to, maybe it's because you haven't planted the Word of God in your life the way that you ought to. Maybe it's because you put too many weeds, you planted too many weeds in your heart. And the truth is struggling with the world for your heart. We need to sow liberally in our hearts and in the hearts of others. You know, just like in Matthew 25, and we're not going to read this, but that's the parable of the talents there, verses 14 through 30, where a master gives three servants according to their ability, talents to manage. And the one talent man that didn't do anything, he was condemned because he didn't manage the single talent that he had. Whatever abilities we have, we need to use those abilities and produce fruit as a result of it. If you sow sparingly, if you're a five-talent man and you only sow two talents, God's going to hold you accountable for the three talents you didn't sow. That's just something to think about. In our own lives and in everything that we do. In Matthew 10, verse 42, Jesus there said, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in my name, in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he by no means will lose his reward. God knows what you're doing. God knows if you're giving somebody a cup of water. Sow your seed. Sow your seed liberally. And that means you've got to be an example. And so there we have some principles that are associated with sowing and reaping the Christian as a farmer. One final passage here, and I just mentioned this again. We won't read this passage. But in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus there, speaking to his apostles on the night that he would be betrayed, says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you don't produce fruit as a branch in me, you will be cut off, you will be cast out, and you will be burned. We have to produce fruit. And this is just taking the analogy of farming on the opposite side. We are produce. We are a branch in Christ Jesus, and that's where our produce needs to be. We need to be bearing fruit in Him, or we are going to be cut off. That's the warning of that text. So there you can see that. Now you see the Christian as a farmer. As we bring this lesson to its conclusion, I want to do so with this observation. We've already mentioned this in Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30, and then the explanation a few verses later, Jesus says there's a harvest coming. He's giving there the parable of the wheat and tares. There is a day of judgment that is coming. And the point of that parable is there is a harvest. There is a harvest coming. God is going to come and harvest the world. The question is, are you a wheat? Or are you a tare? Or are you a wheat? Or are you a weed? Every one of us will stand before God and give an accounting for the way that we've lived our lives. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Jesus said it similarly in John 5, 28 and 29. Both the righteous and the unrighteous will give an account to Him. We need to be ready for that harvest. When that day comes, what fruit will you present to Him? That's yours.